Right now, Jesus is pouring out His love into our hearts. He cares so much for the brokenhearted. He cares for those who are in distress. He cares for those who are in place of need, who need to be healed in their bodies and need to be set free. He cares deeply for you. He came to set you free. He came to break the power of sin. He came to break the power of disease. And He says, my heart is for you. You're not struggling on your own. The living God says, my heart is for you. I want to set you free. I want you to live in all the freedom that I have purposed and won for you. You're not alone. You're not fighting this alone. Jesus is fighting right now for you. Jesus comes alongside you right now. Just allow Him to touch your life. Just allow Him to touch your heart. Touch your body. Just allow Him to put His hand on you and speak healing over your life. Speak peace to your torments. Speak encouragement to your places of loss and your places that are lying destitute in your life. Allow Him to speak peace to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your heart is so open to us, Father. Your heart is so open. You delight in us. You delight in seeing us helped. You delight in seeing us set free. Every time we get up again, you delight. You smile. And you say to the Father, look, one of our children is trying again. He's trying again. Thank you, Father, so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Welcome, guys, welcome. If you're visiting, I trust you feel at home and feel loved and feel appreciated because you are. God loves you so much. Christ in us loves you. I want to share with you a few things which I think will really help you tonight. I've been asking the Lord why it is that there are times that we seem to win and we really seem to move ahead, and the other times we seem to be just spiritually dull and we seem to not encounter God's presence. And some of us have just lived in the outer courts for so long we didn't even know there was an inner court, and we're just so tired of being in that place where nothing's going on and nothing's moving out of our lives. And you hear these testimonies of other people encountering God and seeing glory and going up to heaven, and you just sit there and think, am I a stepchild? Am I second class? How come I don't experience this? How come other people are really encountering God's glory and I don't? You look at other people and they seem so absolutely ultra excited about Jesus, and they just can't get enough of Him. And they just want to be in His presence and they love being with Him. And then other guys just, well, just a meeting. Just getting out of here is probably a better idea than staying in here. And God has got an answer for us tonight. And I believe He's shown me something which I believe is really going to help so many people tonight. Because I believe a time has come now in the history of the church when God is fanning the flames of discontent in the hearts of the believers. Because what people have accepted and believed to be church is no longer doing it anymore. And I want to tell you that I've heard there are loads of young people who don't even go to church anymore, because church has just become one major disappointment and it doesn't fulfill anything. And God is speaking to your heart. And I want you to, firstly, if you're one of those people, not to feel concerned about yourself and think you're some ultra rebel. I really believe the Spirit of God is saying, enough. What we've been doing, we've done. What we've been seeing has happened. And there's a new wineskin coming upon the earth now. There's new people that are tired of what's been the status quo for a very, very long time. Decades and decades, we've done the same things over and over and over, and we've got the same results. And I tell you that it's time for us to stir ourselves and move on, because what we've been doing does not do it anymore, and it's so far from the model. And God is wanting us to say, are you willing to let go of everything you think it should be, because you so want me that you're prepared to take a chance and say, I want the authentic, Lord. I'm tired of playing. I believe there's power, but I don't see it. I believe there should be revelation that is coming from heaven. I don't see it. I believe that a lot of theological schools and Bible colleges are teaching a lot of stuff which is basically knowledge, but it's not revelation. Because if it was revelation, there'd be revivals going on all over the world. For the number of people who are going through Bible schools and ministry schools in the world, there should be revivals going on right now, but there isn't. And all I've got to say is, maybe it's time that the teaching's got to move on. Maybe we've got to move out of the realm of knowledge into the realm of revelation. And that means we might have to get on the water, we might have to explore some things which are a little unusual and a little out of the ordinary. But if we prepare to color outside the lines, maybe God has got something to say to us that we need to take hold of. Amen. And I think it's time that the church got brave enough to do this and get out of the ordinary and get into the place where we are relevant, because God is wanting to do greater things than He's doing right now amongst us. I believe that there's a stirring in our hearts right now to see greater, greater heights and deeper, deeper depths of encounters with God. When people are not coming to church to sit in a meeting and look at the head of the person behind them and get entertained for 20 minutes in worship and 30 minutes in a meeting and give their offering go home, it's not doing it anymore. And it's so time for us to throw that old model out and say it was great while it did its time, but it's well past its sell-by date. And it's time for the church of Jesus Christ to arise now like never before and enter into a season in the history of the world which is going to be dramatically different from anything we have ever known before. Certainly the pressure is growing in the world. Right now the pressures on world economics is growing massively. And it's a season now where they're never like never before. There's a need for people with an insight and an understanding to be able to speak the word of reason and the word of sanity in the midst of the political turmoil and the economic turmoils of the world and say, this is what God is saying. Amen. This is what the church is doing. Not sitting in a meeting anymore. Because it's not doing it anymore and it's not achieving what God has for you. And so it really is time that we move out of this place. And it really is time that we take hold of something new for God. For God has something much greater than we've probably ever believed. I'm going to read you, if you would like to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 7, please. And it's at the time that the Ark of the Covenant, which to the Israelites was the most holy place where God's presence was. It was a box which was ornately decorated, which contained Aaron's rod that budded and the Ten Commandments on stone. And it's where God said His presence would be. And so it was an extremely significant part of Jewish culture. So I'm going to pick up in verse 1. So the men Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim, just so whatever it is. And all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. So you got to understand one thing, that all the people of the land considered themselves to have a relationship with God because they mourned and they cried out to God and they said, God, we need you. God, we need to come and do something. And I think it's a bit like the church today. A lot of people are saying, God, we need you to come and do something, or I'm out of here because I can't keep going like this anymore. And Samuel said to the whole house, now Samuel at that time was prophet, priest, and judge to Israel. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. You see, the Philistines were always the thing that struck terror in the hearts of the Israelites. Because even when the spies went to spy out the land, they came back with a report of the giants that were in the land. When Israel was troubled on their borders, it was inevitably the Philistines that were behind the trouble on their borders. And so Samuel says to these guys, you're mourning for 20 years for God. You're saying you're part of this. But I'm asking you, if you really have returned to the Lord with all your heart, I'm asking you to get rid of your Asherah poles and your false gods. So what's that tell you about people? They're kind of holding on to other things, but they're also part of the mainstream. And they're kind of holding on to a few odds and ends around the place, saying this is part of our life as well. And God and the Lord says through his prophet, he says, if you're seriously returning to the Lord with all your heart, then get rid of those things. Get rid of the idols in your life. Get rid of the other gods that you worship. Get rid of the pagan or the worldly mindsets which you're walking with, which are foreign to me, because you can't go further with them. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. So there was a sense where suddenly the people started to mature. Suddenly people came out of their kind of infantile ways into a place of maturity. And they said, God, we want to follow you. We're getting rid of this stuff because we don't think this is what we need anymore. We understand that if we really seek you and we really get rid of the stuff, we can have you. So then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day, they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. Just understand, there is no real understanding as to what this pouring out of water was, other than possibly a symbolic consecration of themselves, of pouring their hearts out, pouring their lives out before God. There's no other reference of that happening. And so the only understanding we have is that it was probably that. It was a pouring of their hearts out before God. And so these people come from 20 years of, yeah, we're mourning God, we love God to come around, but you know, we also got our Ashtoreth poles, we got our Baals, we got our other gods, we got other idols in our lives, but we also would love God. And then Samuel says, well, if you really want God, you want him with all your heart, then you have to get rid of all that stuff. The guys get rid of it and they come back to God and they assemble at this place called Mizpah, and there they consecrate themselves to God and they say, God, we do belong to you. We're yours. We're not following Baal, we're not following all these other guys anymore, we belong to you. So, verse 7, when the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. Because, of course, they had them all in one place, so it was going to be a cool, quick war. And when the Israelites heard it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They were a bunch of wallies. Because they were always afraid of the Philistines. It was the Philistines that stopped them entering into the land and make them walk around in the wilderness for 40 years because they were afraid of the Philistines. And these guys just get afraid of the Philistines every time. So yeah, the Philistines are coming and they're all afraid. And they say to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord for us, our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hands of the Philistines. So what happens here is this bunch of guys, they've come back to God, but the moment there's a bit of a problem on the hand, oh, pray for us, Samuel. Cry out to God for us, Samuel. Samuel, you're going to do this for us. We can't do this for ourselves. You know, I kind of hear echoes coming through the ages. And I see in the church, pray for me. Minister to me. Make my life work. Make me feel better. I'm so sad. Just pray for me. If you'll just, oh, pastor, I just met somebody outside who needs the Lord. Won't you come and pray for him? What's happened to the people of God? It's time for the people of God to say, this is who we are. This is what we do. We are the ones who pray. We're the ones who don't call on some other guy to pray, fast, and cry out to God. We do it. It's a new season in the history of the world. You and I are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. He's the one who's got all the power. You know, the other day I had this really painful left knee, and it was really sore and sore, and it was over Christmas, and we had Diane Waters with us for Christmas, and she's been on this healing course up in Manchester. And she said, can I pray for your knee? And I said, yeah, okay. And I was driving the car, and we parked to drop her at her house, and she put her hand on my knee, and she prayed, and she said, any better? I said, oh, I can't really tell. I'm driving the car, you know, but not normally saw when I'm doing this. So she said, well, can I pray again? I said, yeah, go for it. So she prayed a total of 3 times. And then she said, well, see what God does. And she said, but one thing I learned on this course, that the Spirit of God inside of me never fails to heal. He's always powerful and he always heals. You're going to get healed. So just accept that. Well, the next day I woke up and it was twice as sore as it was before. I thought, oh no, this is bad. It was so sore I could hardly walk the next day. I went back to bed that night. The next morning I woke up and it was totally gone. Amen. No pain, healed. Why 24 hours later? I don't know. But it's really great that it did go. And Diane was absolutely clear. She said, the Spirit in me is perfectly capable of healing that leg. It's not me that's going to do it. It's the Holy Ghost to me. He's going to heal you. All I'm going to do is become the agent. And she didn't do her long prayers and shandalas. She just put her hand on it. She said, Jesus heals you now. He's healed you now. Because the Spirit heals. You know, we think we're going to be heard for our many words. We sometimes say lots of words and prime the pump in tongues because we think they'll get something going. But it's just the Spirit who wants to heal. So he's going to lay a hand on somebody and say, Jesus heals you now. Any better? Not yet. Okay, let's do it again and see if something happens. So, wow, how do we get here? The Israelites who are terrified of the Philistines. And they say to Samuel, you cry out, don't stop crying out to the Lord for us. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb. That's a lamb that's still being suckled by its mother. It's still a baby lamb. And offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Just brilliant. He took a lamb that was pure, unblemished, had never lived its life. It was a life, and it was absolutely pure. Jesus was pure. And Jesus laid down his life for us, that we could approach the throne of God, because Jesus, the purest Lamb of God, went and laid down his life to make the way for you and I to enter into God's presence and know the glory that God has purposed for each one of us to know and live in, but that we don't know, we don't live in because we don't think we can, or we think, I'm just excluded from this. You know, it's only the popular guys that get to do this, but God wants you to see realms of glory. He wants you to understand things that you've never dreamt you understand. Yeah. Hallelujah. So he cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered from heaven with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to the point below Beth Kar. Isn't that great? When the Lord's done the job, you just go out and mop up and you feel really good. You see these blokes walking along, patting each other on the back, saying that was a really good battle. We really slaughtered the Philistines. Actually, God did it. But he doesn't mind sharing that victory. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named the stone Ebenezer. Ebenezer means the stone of help, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israel's territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was upon the Philistines, was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to her, and Israel delivered the neighboring territories from the power of the Philistines, and then there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel continued to judge. Now, just think about this, because this has fascinated me. He takes a stone and he sticks it up at the point where the battle was won. And for the rest of the time that Samuel lives and is prophet and judge over Israel, that stone, and I don't know how big it was, stops the Philistines from ever coming in again and invading them. Just the stone. Wasn't a wall like across Jerusalem today. It's a stone. And the stone defines you can't come in here. That's no longer your area to come into. Why? What happened with this stone that created this this dividing line between the Philistines camp could come and they didn't. Well, it was really interesting because I did a lot of thinking about this, and I thought it was stones. And I thought about Jacob when he was running away from his brother and he's running to his uncle Laban, and he comes to this place where he sleeps the night and he puts his head on a stone as a pillow. And he has this amazing dream that night of angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And this stone where his head lies is really overflowing with amazing revelations from heaven. And so what happens, the next morning he gets up and he says, this place is none other than the house of God. It's called Bethel. And he takes oil and he anoints the stone. Now the stone is just a stone. But the stone, every time he passed there, would remind him that there God gave him this revelation where heaven came into earth and he was face to face with God in that sense. I started thinking about stones. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the religious guys are really upset that the children are shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus says, listen, if they don't praise me, these stones will praise me. What's this about stones? When Jesus gives up his spirit and dies in the crucifixion account in Matthew, what happens? The rocks split open. Why did the rocks split open? Why? Why? We know the ground shook and parted, but why did the rocks split open? Why did Jesus say the stones will praise me? Why is the Bible declaring Jesus to be the chief cornerstone? Why does Hebrews say we are living stones built into the temple of God? What's this about stones? Why does a stone placed there by Samuel stop the Philistines from ever advancing beyond it again for the entire time that he lived? Stones are interesting things. This is where we're going to depart from traditional teaching. I have a quartz watch. It has a little tiny piece of quartz rock inside of it. Quartz is a unique material. If you bombard it with a sound frequency, it continues to vibrate at the frequency you bombard it with. And as long as you put an electrical stimulation, it will keep vibrating at that frequency. Now, they can modify quartz to such a point that it will vibrate every second, which produces the mechanism that keeps my watch going. If they were to take a bar of quartz and hit it with a piece of steel, it will ring for longer than any other known material on the earth. It rings because in the molecular structure of quartz, and I don't understand this, but there is nothing that will stop it. In fact, if they took it and they put a microphone on it and a speaker pointed towards it with a slight amplification, the ring will never stop because the ring it receives back in will cause it to ring again and back in, and you'll have an endless ringing piece of quartz. It's amazing. It's a piece of rock. God is speaking about stones and rock. Rocks, we know, scientifically, physiologically, have the ability to hold a vibration and keep vibrating at a certain pace, a certain level. Rocks split open when something great and cataclysmic happens from heaven. Something else that's really interesting. Every sound on the earth is a vibration. It's vibration, that's why we hear it. And in fact, our hearing mechanism is based on vibrations. If you took two tuning forks, one in a major, one in a minor key, and you whack them together at the same time, they will begin to resonate as they ring, and the minor key will come into harmony with the major key. And the major key will overrule the minor key. This is really interesting stuff. Now think about this. God is a power, and from God is coming power all the time. And God calls us living stones. What are stones able to do? Vibrate. They can. The New Ages figured this out. You know, Satan always works very close. So they started making crystals and flogging them. What they did is they programmed the crystal with negative curses, and then people buy them, put them around their neck, put them in their houses, and they wonder why their lives are miserable. Because the stone now contains a vibration from the enemy. So you take one of those things, you put it. We had a guy come to our church years ago in South Africa, and he had the most horrendously amazing deliverance. I mean, he came clean of absolutely everything in sight. And afterwards, he told me that his dad was into crystals, crystallogy, I think they call it, and he used to put crystals around their beds at night when they slept because these crystals were meant to protect his children and ward off evil spirits. But actually, what he was doing was cursing his own children. And this guy had to get delivered massively from all this stuff. So what you're starting to see is we are living stones, and we are capable of carrying a vibration as well. Crazy, isn't it? But if we come into the presence of heaven, in the presence of Jesus, there's a vibration from heaven, which is a major vibration. When it encounters our lives, it resonates with us, and we form a vibration on the earth which resonates with what's coming out of heaven. Many years ago, I was working in a company, and I was doing field trials of a product that I was developing, and I had to go into this little field surgery. It was really out in the bush, and with this guy who was going to test this for me, and he took this pack, put it out, and these various women came in for this procedure. It was a tube ligation, having their tubes tied up. And these people came in regularly through the whole time, and they came in to have this procedure. And I was dressed exactly like the doctor, so you couldn't have told me differently. I had a mask on and a hat and all the rest of it. And I was standing there, and everybody was going through the procedure, and suddenly this woman came in. And as she came into the room, she flattened herself against the wall, and she looked at me with these wild eyes, and you know, the whites of the eyes showing. She slid along the wall like this, and so I thought, I'm upsetting her, I better get out of the way. So I kind of moved right out behind her when she was on the little operating table. And she was looking over the top of her head like this and looking at me with these eyes that were wild. And she was restless. And, you know, all the other women had had the procedure with the local anesthetic and they were fine. She was going through the most intense distress. So what they were doing, when they came in, they brought in their patient card. And on it was written their name, etc., and what they did for a living. So I just kind of sidled up to her card because I wanted to keep out of her way. I was clearly causing her a problem. And it said that their occupation was, she was a witch doctor. Now, what was causing this reaction? I believe it was the vibration that was going on in me from heaven, encountering the minor key in her, and the minor key in her was having to come into tune with heaven, and she didn't like what the minor key was doing, and she was really distressed and upset about this. Am I making sense? Am I talking rubbish to you? We've got to grab something that's going to bring revival, guys. The old stuff didn't work, so the old stuff's finished now. It's time for revelation, which is way out of there, and it's far different from what we've been living with. And so, what I've come to see is vibration from me is affecting what comes from God. So therefore, if I go into a place of great darkness, and I am vibrating with a vibration of heaven, what happens? I'm going to upset a lot of people probably. I'm probably good, but I'm going to see people's lives get changed. I'm going to see healings come to people. I'm going to see deliverances come to people just because I'm carrying something from heaven on the inside of me. You see, we've up to now explained it was the Holy Spirit, but I wanted to know, what is the Holy Spirit doing? What makes this happen in people? And I found something by a guy called Ian Clayton, and I suddenly got this revelation. I thought, when I heard it the first time, I said, what? This is crazy. I played it a second time and suddenly lights went on all over my life. I thought, oh my word, God, this is you. You're speaking this truth, this revelation. Now, what causes the revelation to not resonate with me? I've come to understand that if I live like Israel, who was part of God's deal, but still carrying Ashtoreth poles and Baal gods and all that, I'm not going to resonate with heaven. There's going to be a dull sound to me when the Spirit of God comes anywhere near me. And I'm going to say, why don't I find, I have glory encounters. Why don't I go to heaven? Why don't I heal sick? Why don't I change anybody's life? And God says simply that. If you want to return to God with all your heart, like Israel had to do, God will start to resonate with our lives like never before. And God will bring the most incredible things about through our lives. You will begin to journey into places you never believed possible. You will begin to have revelations you didn't think could happen on this earth. God is so wanting a people who now more than ever will come into a completely different understanding of who God is. And if you're sitting there saying, I don't know about this, it's not what we traditionally teach, I want to ask you where the revivals are that should be coming out of the traditional teaching. It might just be time for us to get out the boat and get on the water and say, God, there's more than I've got to understand. You know, Isabel Allen, when she prophesied over me, she said, God is giving you an understanding of spiritual things, but he's also giving you an understanding of natural things. I thought, that's right. Quartz rock vibrating is a natural thing. I understand it. Your computer's got one in it. Your watch has got one in it. Your mobile phone's probably got one in it. Come on. Come on. There's so much more than you and I have even begun to tap into. You know, we're so caught up with, you know, if I deserve it, if I can just get it, get my life into a good place, if I could just not sin for a while, if I can really stay sin-free, maybe I'm going to find something from God. And you know, the problem is that as long as we're looking at the sin, we're going to fill our horizon with it. Eventually, we're going to get back in the sin anyway. But if you get somewhere else and you come out of the sin zone, and you say, on my own, I can't change anything. I failed miserably, but Jesus doesn't fail. I'm going to get out of that zone. Have you noticed in the world there's a greater emphasis on worship and encountering the glory and people doing things with God they never did before? You know, we just stood and sang vigorous songs in the charismatic thing for a long time. But now, something called the glory zone has become apparent to the church. And Jesus is calling people into it. Why do I know this? Got to read in John chapter 17. Jesus said, he's praying about the ones that are to follow the disciples. He said, Father, I've given them the glory you gave me. Father, let the ones that will follow me see my glory. God has every intention that you will enter the glory zone. God has every intention that you and I will see glorious resonances from heaven. That we will go and stand in the darkest of places, and just by being there, resonating with heaven, we will begin to change dark things around us. It was so interesting last night in Soho. There was a guy there right at the end who came up and he really got stirred up and he was really angry. We were breaking bread. And he tried to hit Dom at one point. He was so angry and swearing and everything else, but he'd been saying he was a Christian before that. And you could see the anger in the man was way out of proportion to the offense he'd thought he'd seen. And then you realize why he was offended. The darkness in him was just resonating and didn't like it and say, I don't like what you're doing to me. I don't like that you want to take my minor key and turn it into a major key. And so he got angry with the one that was affecting him. Guys, we've got to stop trying to do this on our own. It's not working. It doesn't work. It's time to give that one up. It's time to say, thank you, Jesus. It was really good. But it's time to move on now. It's time to take hold of something different. You can resonate with heaven if you and I are prepared to get rid of our rebellion against God. Dot and I have gone on, might sound crazy, we're the pastors. Dot and I have gone on a negativity fast. where we don't want to say anything negative about anything or anybody. So we help each other by saying, I think there might be a bit negative, like, you know, if you say, oh, I'm stupid, you know what I've just done? No, you're not stupid. The Word of God never says you're stupid. Stop agreeing with the devil, because that's a resonant from another place. You don't want that in your life. You are not. You are wisdom in Christ. You are more than an overcomer in Christ. And so what we're doing in the morning when we get up, we're saying what we are in Christ. And this morning we had Ruth and Dan with us, and we got into who God says it. I think we've totally wrecked the neighbors and our reputation with them. But it was so brilliant, because we came out there feeling so full of who we are in Christ. Because agreeing with the devil will not help me to resonate with heaven. When I agree with the devil, I don't resonate with heaven. When I'm full of fear because I can't trust God, I don't resonate with heaven. When I'm in rebellion with God against authority, when I'm against national authority, the government, we read that God put the government there. He says submit to them, but I don't like them. I support Labor. What does actually matter? Because God says it's not that you don't trust the conservatives, it's just you don't trust God. Because God isn't interested in whether you evaluate somebody as worth submitting to. He's interested in whether you think he is worth being trusted in this matter. Can I trust you, God, in this instance? If I trust you, then I don't have to be angry with this person. I don't have to look at this person and loathe them because they're my spiritual leader, whatever they are. And yeah, I can receive what they've got for me. Guys, we've got to get rid of whatever is causing the resonance to go dull in your lives. And the only way you get rid of it, come into the glory zone. It's time to stop living in the outer courts. Some of us have been there all our lives. We've got to enter the inner court, the Holy of Holies, the place that Jesus opened when he died, when the curtain was split in two. Now is the time for us to enter that zone and say, that's where I'm meant to live. I believe the only way you and I will get rid of habitual sin in our lives is by entering the glory of God and allowing the glory of God to begin to change our hearts. There is so much that God wants to do. There's so much he wants to show you. And I believe it's time to stop doing what we were doing. Now, notice I'm not saying let's make some organizational changes here. I'm saying let's make some heart changes. God, I want my heart to come to a place where it resonates with heaven. I don't want to make an organizational change. That's going to change anything. I want my heart to change. I want to look like Jesus. I want to sound like Jesus. So when that sound from heaven hits me, it just resonates, and I just hum. And as I go, the Lord just releases legions of angels out of heaven to come and do battle. Whoa! And it's time for the church to start speaking about angels. We've spoken about demons for long enough. It's time for the angels to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, is that not a bit spooky? Oh, I hope so. Because we don't want to be in the ordinary anymore. We want to get in the place where we are dealing with the supernatural, because we're dealing with a supernatural God who's called us to live supernatural lives, who's called us to do amazing exploits for him in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, and not in our own power anymore. We don't have to do that. It's now finished. If you are willing to say it's finished, then we're on the same side here. If you're willing to say that was great, but we got to move on now. It's not that we're going to change the worship, put in some more instruments, some smoke machines and better lights. It's going to achieve nothing. What we want is to bring our lives and say, Jesus, here I am. Amen. Here I am. Amen. Take all of what you got here. Because this life is ready to become highly charged and very dangerous on this earth. You got it. How you deal with sin? You got it. You just fill your vision with Jesus. Fill your heart with Jesus. Stop speaking the negatives over your life. Stop saying things over yourself and other people's lives. Start saying what God says about them. Start looking at someone and saying, God says you're amazing. God says you're highly anointed. God says you're more than an overcomer. God says that he that in you, Graham, is greater than he that's in the world. God says, Lyncia, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's truth. And when we get in truth, we get into resonance with heaven. And my vibration starts to come very strongly through. And then I start upsetting the one who throws in the minor keys. Hallelujah. You want it? You can choose how much you want. I'm not forcing anybody to have it. But aren't you sick and tired of not healing people with cancer? Aren't you tired when people say, I've got cancer, that's it, death sentence, end of story? Wouldn't it be great if it's no longer the death sentence? Wouldn't it be great if people come in with bipolar and they walk out without bipolar? Wouldn't it be great if people walked in with a tumor and walked out without the tumor and we got someone to clean up the floor and throw it in the bin? Wouldn't it be amazing? Why not? Why not? Wouldn't it be great for blind people to walk in here and walk out seeing? Wouldn't it be great for the deaf people to come in because Wendy can translate for them and they walk out hearing? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, do you think these guys don't want to hear? Of course they want to hear. What are we waiting for, church? You don't have to try and be big faith people. You just got to deal with the stuff that's going on in your life that's making the resonance go dull. And get into this glory zone. You know, if you read Song of Solomon, God loves you. It is the most graphically illustrated book of the most intimate relationship. God wants to entwine your spirit with His. Totally entwine it that you become one with the Spirit of God. Then you vibrate with a different vibration. Mariah Woodworth Etter, beginning of last century. No, even before that. She had this church. Church people used to come in there with guns to shoot her because they hated what she represented. And they used to freeze with their gun. And they used to stand there for several hours unable to move. Reporters came in to write bad stuff about her and try to prove she was a charlatan. And all they did is they just got frozen where they were and they could write nothing. When they came around, eventually they were just sobbing before God and saying, God, you're real. This is amazing. It's better than handing out tracts, let me tell you. It's better than a smoke machine. It's the real deal. It's time for the real deal, guys. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Isn't this great? Amen. So what are you vibrating with tonight? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's vibrating in your life tonight? What's going on inside here? I know what's going on in my watch, but what's going inside of me? This living stone, what is he doing? You know, there's one more stone I found. This is a fascinating stone. This is probably the best. Ha! Revelation 2:17. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, hidden food from God. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. God's really into stones. Why? Because stones can hold vibrations. Speak to the New Agers. They've worked it out. They know that if they can program a stone with a negative thing, they can cause it to cause damage. Jesus. Just open your heart to him now. Jesus, we want to say to you tonight, come and take us. We are ready. We are ready to tear up the old blueprint and say that was great. But the new blueprint we want from you, Lord, is going to be so different than the old one. It's going to take us to places we've never been before. Father, it's time. It is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to arise and be the Church of Jesus Christ that will reveal what is in Jesus' heart, that will reflect what Jesus reflects, that will vibrate with the resonance of heaven, that will begin to change this earth because the glory of God is upon this church. Father, it's time. If you're tired of the old system, guys, and you want this, stand up with me, please. Say, Jesus, that's it. I've had done with the old. I've had done with it. It was great while it lasted, but now it's time for the new. Now it's time for me to take hold of what is new. Now it's time for me to say, Jesus, I'm ready, I'm willing, take me. But I believe there's things for me to discover which I've never even begun to think of. So now come and take me, Jesus. I give you my life. Just like the Philistines, the Israelites, we stand and we consecrate our lives to you, Lord. We say, take my life. Take it. Let it be yours now. Let it be lived for you. Let this life reveal your glory only, Jesus. I want to deal with every single thing that stands there and causes me to be dull in your presence. And so, Lord, what I'm asking you to do is show me, but show me because I'm looking at you, not because I'm gazing at myself to try and find some sin. But I want to look at you, and I want you to say, Jesus, show me. If there's stuff in here you want to deal with, I'm going to look at you. I'm going to come into your presence. I'm going to entwine myself with you, Holy Spirit, because only you can free me from this stuff. Amen. Only Jesus sets me free from my sin. Only Jesus pays the price. Only Jesus says it is finished. And so I choose it is finished. I choose now to live in the overflow. I choose no longer to go and scrape the barrel to try and keep a church going. We look at the overflow in the name of Jesus. Jesus. I want to be yours, Lord. I want to be yours now. I want to be yours. I want you to destroy the Philistines. I want to be like that suckling lamb. I want to come pure, young. And I want to come to you, Lord, and I say, I'm little. I'm not even mature, but I believe you to do all that you said you would do with my life. So take this life and turn it around, Jesus. I want it. I want to turn this world upside down. You've called me to turn this world upside down. Turn the city upside down with your glory. You've called me to nothing less, so that's what I'm up for. And I want to go there, Jesus. Father, here we are. We stand in your presence. Take note of our hearts. Take all of our lives. Jesus, every part of us, every part of us. Nothing in our life was created to be ordinary. Nothing in our life was created to be boring, mundane, same as. It was never what God intended. And so, Father, we tell you that's it. We've had done with it. We want the authentic now. We want what you have, Father. We want what you've done, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Take my life. Let it be. Live for your glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I seek your face. My heart longs for you. We're living in a dry and weary land where there's been no water for a long time. But Jesus, we want to come to you for living water tonight. Living water that will bring life into this land. That will cause this hard, baked land to once again yield a harvest for the glory of Jesus. That the wells in this land will open and gush water out into this land again. That this land of London will begin to be filled with the glory of Jesus. The water of the living God will be over this land, and seeds will fall into the ground and germinate, and truth will bring people to freedom in the name of Jesus. Praise Him, praise Him. And the people will see the power of God. And we're a nameless, faceless generation, and that's all we want to remain, Jesus. We want you. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. The Lord just reminded me of the scripture. It's in Romans 9. See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And I really have a sense that, I know that that's a quote from the Old Testament, but, you know, it's talking about Jesus. And there's a real sense in which a stone that makes men stumble, and I believe, I don't know if this is the true interpretation, but I believe Holy Spirit's saying that that it'll cause men to bow the knee before Jesus. They either do that, or it's a rock that makes them fall. And that's really the judgment of God. And it's a heavy word, but the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And I just want to say to anyone tonight, I just sense, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't really met him yet, tonight could be the night when you bow the knee before Jesus and he changes your life, he fills you with the Spirit. You get this quartz stone on the inside of you that changes your life. And so if that's you, please come and speak to me afterwards.
Thank you. Just to kind of bring the balance, you are the court stone. You don't have one on the inside of you. You are this living stone, the whole of you. Yeah. Amen.